Okay,
6:33. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Thank everybody for coming. And
well, you're welcome, Rich.
Would like to have a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Everybody okay with them? I read them. I didn't have a problem. Okay, all in
if
favor?
If man is okay with them, I'm okay with them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed? Carried 5-0. Okay, we're going to do the resolutions. We're going to pull out the fourth resolution down, resolution 261 first. Carl would like to speak on that, so
I'll move
so
it.
He can enjoy
second.
Enjoy Zeeland. And resolution 261 is setting a public hearing on amended proposed local law number 4, which is a local law adopting an administrative code for the County of Ulster pertaining to change orders and or amendments to contracts equal to or exceeding $50,000. To be held Wednesday, August 12th.
This is so he can get out and enjoy his evening?
Yeah.
Can I go with him to enjoy the evening?
No.
We'll still have a quorum, so yes, you can.
Me.
Okay. Legislator.
No, I mean, I just wanted to come in case there were any questions because this is the second month that the
now what was the what was the amendment that was in there? Can you explain the amendment?
Yeah, page 2, number 4A.
Yep.
Instead of 20% of the contingency budget, it's 20% of the contract total. I'm
okay.
Fine with that. And then in B of the same number 4, make a compromise basically with pass-through money the county gets for not-for-profits and for contract agencies that we don't hold up for a vote after $50,000 if, you know, and it's a non-capital project if it's pass-through money. Meaning pass-through money from the state.
It's going to stop like Family of Woodstock. If they get a pass-through grant, we have pass-through money. If it's over 50,000, the amendment's over 50,000, has to come back to the legislature. Meanwhile, Family of Woodstock is providing the services. It could provide a significant cash flow problem.
Okay.
So that amendment would fix that problem.
Okay.
That's probably a poor example. I'm thinking more of one of the poor not-for-profits, but it's the same, you know.
Same fair thing. Enough. Like awareness.
Yeah. But, you know, so I didn't want to penalize not-for-profits, you know.
Right.
And it's
who did nothing
money.
Wrong. Who did,
yeah, and it's pass-through right. money. They're just waiting for grant
yep.
money. And they're waiting for the county to take the money and to expend the funds. So that's all. And it's just,
I'm buying with
all
it.
I wanted to.
I'm a little bit.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor as amended?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Beautiful.
Okay. One of the major problems was it showed up under the Golden Hill situation where, in other words, they actually never put the $35,000, and then they amended it again for another $35,000, and then never the legislature knew nothing about it the whole time.
But that was legal. That was basically what the charter said.
Yep.
Any contract didn't say amendments.
So now we're fixed.
Now we're fixed. Excellent. All righty.
Do you have any comment on the false alarm before you leave?
Well, I do have a comment, but I mean, you guys have an agenda. So.
Okay, so well, how about we'll take we're going to take resolution.
Do you want to do false alarm?
Yeah, the false alarm. I'm looking to see what number.
255.
255 out of order.
I'm fine with that.
Legislator Green made a motion. Legislator Rock second. Okay, so we have a motion and a second.
Yep. We'll go ahead.
255, which is setting a public hearing.
Okay, yes.
Okay, on the false alarm. Legislator.
Well, I just, you know, we've been through this before. 4 years ago, I was actually a co-sponsor on the same local law. And the one thing that I think is unfair to the towns and unfair to the homeowner is that many towns do already have a local law, a local alarm law, and they charge penalties to their residents. So this local law would actually, in effect, double a town who already has a local law. The recipient of a faulty alarm system is going to get a fine from the county and from their town.
I don't know if that would be true.
That,
no, I don't think that would be true. Because what happens is it would be a, like, for instance, in the city of Kingston, if there was a response, we have one. I know, at least there, I remember there was one put in 20-some years ago we put one in, maybe 24 years ago, because we were having problems with that. But in the city of Kingston, that's responding to it, the city of Kingston police, so they're the ones that are doing it. So in this case, it's a county law, so it would only, if the sheriff's office had responded, and then the sheriff's office responded again, And then you get two buys, and then the third time the county would put a fine on them. If the respondents are a town, then they're the ones that's up to them.
Well, here's,
but if it does certain towns, right. Of course, the sheriffs are the ones that actually do the responding in most cases. And the city of Kingston, they don't. And, we have our police force does most of the responding. And, 90% of it are warned. So I don't know any SOFAs you have a police force at.
No, we don't have a police force, but I do have an alarm system. And here's the inequity
department.
About this whole thing, okay? The alarm system, the monitoring system, will ask you who you want to be called. You can have them call the sheriff's department or the state police. If everybody calls the state police, then how is this going to be? How is this going to serve the county?
If everybody calls the state, if everyone has their alarm company call the state police, and the state police are going to be going to a lot of false alarms and report that, reporting that to us eventually.
I understand.
So they'll shut that down
in the beginning because the local law states for the sheriff's department.
Or any other law enforcement entity that may become reported to the county.
And Carl, I don't think there's a double jeopardy.
There's not. That's what I was getting to. One of the changes that the illustrious chairman and I made when we were sponsoring this one is a section 4 with exemptions, which says the requirements of this local law shall not apply to any Ulster County municipality that has enacted local false alarm reduction regulation.
Legislation. Oh, okay. All right, never mind.
If I could just mention, last night, I sleep far later than I used to, and at 2:55, the siren went off in Boyceville. So I'm going, too many Christmas, Look out the window to see if it's on 28. Nobody showed up. Until finally the guys, the chief, because it was an automatic alarm, they just don't even bother to go. And this is part of what's going on.
Here's, to your point there, if you're walking down the street and you hear a car alarm going off, is your first thought someone's stealing that car?
No.
No, your first thought is, oh, geez, I wish that guy turned that damn thing off. That's where we're getting with false alarm with these automatic alarms and, to the point where police don't want to respond.
And could I just say, one of the fellas who didn't go was in Boyceville this afternoon. I asked him, and he goes, I like the alarm. We like it a lot, except we want the money. I'm going, stop breaking my chops. You don't even have a law yet. And you want the money, and you want the state police to get it? If there's a coordinated law, you want somebody to have to send a little bit to the rescue squad that shows up at the school? All right. So, I haven't really had anybody complain about the whole thought of the whole thing, Carl.
Yeah, I know. No, they put one in place in Kingston.
Yeah,
I think probably
the
had to be 20. They did 24, 26 years.
No, that would be
that long. Yeah, we've had one of them.
Right,
it was
saying,
up when I was in Albany.
But
it had to be at least 24.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
No, hold on. I got more debate.
Okay.
Let's.
Do we accept this?
Well, we're still discussing.
Are you? I have a question.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah.
I have an amendment, but if Legislator Green wants to go first so I can write it down and be really coherent.
Legislator Green. I'm just concerned about seniors who are not, they may make a mistake over and over, but they can't help it, they have Alzheimer's or some kind of dementia. That's my concern.
You know, this doesn't count the life alert buttons. It doesn't count those.
No.
It does.
No.
Okay.
No, it excludes
I was looking for that. Okay,
that was,
thank you.
You amended that not too long ago, right? That was
yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. That was my concern.
And remember, it does not count where somebody pushes an alarm in error or if somebody breaks an alarm box, that's not an automatic false alarm. That's somebody doing it.
Or if there's a problem with an electricity problem that did something and caused it to go off.
And if the police officer goes out there and it's an honest reason why it happened, he or she's probably not going to report it anyway. As a demerit against the person, they're just going to give them a pass on it. It's the ones that are
using wrong judgment.
Okay, let's sit around.
Yes, on the reporting of a false alarm, Chris, were you able to, did Erica talk to you about anything, or?
She didn't.
Okay.
You and I spoke.
Yeah.
Is this page 6?
It's, yeah, page six of the...
I apologize. You did speak to me briefly.
Okay.
I'm remembering that.
That's fine. Because I'm trying to come up with... I've been trying all day to come up with the wording for this, and I don't know how to...
What are you looking for?
Section C on page six in section... Page six, section eight, subsection C, reporting of a false alarm. Everywhere else in the law, it was including emergency medical services and fire services. But on the reporting, it was strictly law enforcement, and somebody in the fire advisory board pointed it out to me. So I was thinking right after it says law enforcement other than law enforcement employed by the County of Ulster, and I was going to add or emergency medical or EMS and fire service providers, but I want to
be at the very end, as well as
you know,
in other words, where it says law enforcement other than law enforcement employed by the County of Ulster may also report the same to the Ulster County.
Yeah, in between Ulster and May.
As well as
no, because it's got to be it's got to be before the rest of, because the rest of the paragraph, it goes on. Talks about a procedure implemented by the sheriff. So,
why don't you instead make a new D?
Or emergency services.
Chris has a suggestion.
I just want to say that I think that's a point well taken, and I'm not speaking to whether that's an appropriate amendment to make it consistent and affect the same service providers. Mm-hmm.
So I would go, by the law enforcement other than law enforcement employed by the County of Ulster, comma, or emergency services may also report same to the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, blah, 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 blah. And then that would include...
You want blah, 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 blah?
No. It goes on from there.
How many blahs
are
cut out? Two blahs.
Et cetera, et cetera. Is that better?
Is that the only amendment?
Or emergency services is the only thing I'm adding. The rest is already written.
That's what he meant, I think. Blah,
yeah,
blah.
It is.
Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
Yada, yada, yada.
And on and on.
Okay. So is that is that good?
I'll move that.
Is that good?
Second.
Sure.
You're
going to
second it?
Let's say
Donaldson.
I'm not even on the committee. That's right.
No, you are.
You're the chairman.
You're
you serve on every committee.
You're on the committee.
There you go. Sign away.
Usually I'm they need a vote. Can I borrow your pen?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Any other questions? But if we end up having a 3-3 vote, you'll believe.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah. On the amendment?
On the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye with the amendment. On resolution, any further discussion?
Yep.
It's a good idea. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 6-0. Okay. Now we're going to go to the number one.
Now we can start at the beginning.
Setting a public hearing, resolution 232, setting a public hearing on local law number 7, law amending the administrative code for the county register to modify the term of chairman and clerk of the legislature.
I'll move it.
I'll
second it. For the purposes of discussion, I missed out on the last month's meeting. Apparently there was some concern about it. I had separated these out from the original proposed changes to the charter because these ones were determined by council as not needing a referendum. And I thought we could do them together, but there was some concern, so I'm here to answer any concern. I mean, I understand the concern about having the chairman serve with the term of the legislature, but I think it provides continuity, continuity of leadership, continuity on the committees. I know that was something that had been a concern to some people and had been raised when we were talking about, the possibility of doing this. And I think the same thing with the clerk. It also provides by 2/3 vote for removal of the chair, so the chair can't do outrageous things. If the chair is doing things that are so outrageous that you know, 16 legislators decide he's got to go, it can be a motion from the floor.
Mr. Johnson?
I'm starting to get a little worried here. I'm agreeing with him again. I have to agree with Ken. I think it makes sense. I mean, we get elected every 2 years, and therefore I think the leader should be set for the 2-year period. They do that in most legislative bodies. It makes sense to do. Otherwise, you create a sort of an upheaval in the middle of the term again. And, that's a little bit of a problem. So I think it makes more sense. And also, due to the fact that the type of government we have now, it's even more important because we have a strong executive form of government. So therefore, you want a chairman that serves for the 2 years so they can also assert as a strong chairman. And, you know, that's the best way for checks and balances. So I agree with it.
Okay. I'm just going to say I don't think I'm going to support it. I'll support it tonight to get it to the floor. I'm good with the clerk being 2 years. And I think if you look at the history of the legislature, the year there was the biggest upheaval was the year that the only time they've ever changed midterm since, 1968? There's only been one chair that's... I just think it's a non-issue. It's worked for 47 years. Every year.
Yeah, but it also, it seems to be almost every time there becomes
politicking.
But that's healthy. Everything we do, that's our businesses, you know. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but, you know, if 14 people are unhappy, it's a shame that they can't make changes. If 13 people are unhappy after 10 months, they can't make
that's
a change.
That's the whole point, though, because, you know, let's face it, when you sit in a position of... The chairman's position, you're going to make people unhappy as time goes on, and hopefully it'll change as the time goes on. That's why the 2-year term.
I get what you're saying, but you know, Legislator Donaldson, you know, if somebody gets in January 5th and they know they got 2 years, they could run roughshod. If they know they got to worry about the embarrassment of maybe getting beat next year, if they do too many crazy things, they're going to tread lightly and say, you know, I have to work with everybody. I still have to have consent. I just think in my opinion, it's all it is. And I get that in the Senate and the Congress and all these other places in the state and nationally, they do vote for 2-year terms. But I
don't think so.
I think the
assembly is every year. And I think so.
But what about Congress? Like John Boehner is elected for 2 years.
I think so. I think you're right. Congress is elected for 2 years, but I think the state Senate and state Assembly, I think, are 1-year appointments.
Then, in my opinion, it's more of a reason.
But at that point, it's like a, you know,
formality.
It's definitely a formality.
But they can get rid of somebody, especially if they've been indicted or something's happened. You know.
Even that, they had trouble in both houses.
Well, you're right. I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to argue this one, but I just think it's worked. It's worked for a lot of years. It's not perfect, but nothing's perfect anywhere.
Fair enough.
It's just so that's. But I'll vote yes to get it to the floor.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, because I got to be consistent and vote with the same vote that I made last month.
What was that?
No.
No.
Oh. I knew that actually.
I'm also a no. I don't happen to agree with the resolution, but. You know, if it goes to the floor, we'll decide it there.
Right, and that's...
But I am a no.
You know, one thing, many, many, many years ago, when I was the county auditor here, first thing I did was find out how they could get rid of me. Because if you have to make a decision that nobody likes... Just for fits of personal pique, they could. Yeah. And I found that for the county auditor, they'd have to start an Article 78 proceeding and go through an entire session. They couldn't just vote a majority of one and throw you out. If I may be incorrect, but if it wasn't for the unique situation, the way I'm here, and Manager and I have chatted about her thing on the environmental thing at the time and the reasoning behind it. But there were certainly enough people on the majority who would have thrown me out of my ear had you make that decision with somebody popular. But because of the situation, it was far more difficult than impossible to do, because there were folks on the other side that maybe thought I was right or just didn't want to get into it. I can see somebody, there's something to be said for consistency, and I'll probably vote yes for it.
I signed under yours, by the way.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. We'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
I signed under yours, so we'll sign under mine there.
I'll see you legislative off the balance because you guys work on
it. Did I do it on the yellow one, Joe, or what? No, I did it right on that one. I didn't put my glasses on.
Okay. Resolution 258
is
setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2015, a local law establishing an automatic recanvassing procedure in and for the County of Ulster, State of New York, to be held Wednesday, August 12th.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, with the board committee's permission, the county attorney just asked us to just deliver to the committee some suggested changes, amendment to the local law that we have. We met with legislative council a short while ago to address some of these changes. And if there are any questions from the committee, I mean, we'll gladly entertain to the extent that we can give you some answers with legislative council there.
All right, now these the changes are redlined, then, correct?
Yes,
right.
Correct.
And
go ahead.
That is also includes the prior amendments. So that would be not as it reads now, but as it reads, assuming the other amendments are made. And then what's in red are just the county attorney's suggestions based on her conversations.
The New York State, Tom Kellner from the New York State Board of Elections.
Good. Okay. Legislative Rock.
Section.
Which one are we going to look at?
Look at
the red lines
up
at the beginning.
All right, well, you want to just go by which red line? The first red line is my first question. So,
okay, good.
Section B, election, any primary, regular, special election for municipal office or referendum held within the County of Ulster, State of New York. The jurisdiction of the Ulster County Board of Elections is in the County of Ulster, State of New York. It seems a little duplicative. I understand that from talking to B, I understand that there was a discussion with the one of the state commissioners, Commissioner Kellner, who had said he wanted that. He suggested that be added to make it so like in a state senate race or a state assembly race with multi-jurisdictional. I was pretty sure, I could be wrong, that the chairman's intention was to only have it apply to local elections.
Right.
And
council
did advise us.
Okay.
That's that.
So.
Sure, a while ago.
Right. Yeah. And I could just add that it's the intent, I believe, of chairman to only affect those races that are within
wholly contained,
exactly,
correct.
Wholly contained the geographical boundaries of the county of Ulster.
Right. Okay.
And we actually have a proposed amendment which can clarify that under section 2B.
All right. So with this red line, and I'm not, so there's no problem with everybody with that, the red line then on that one.
No, actually, that's exactly the opposite of what
correct.
I think the intent is going to be, because that incorporates
that would incorporate multi-jurisdictional races.
Multi-jurisdictional races outside
right.
of
so that account. Would get crossed off. What are you losing me here?
Hold on.
So on page 2, on the top of the, we're under section 2B.
2B.
This, where they add this, held within the jurisdictions of the Ulster County Board of Election, you're saying that that's counter
It is, because the jurisdiction of the Oles County Board of Elections extends to multi-jurisdictional races, including, for example, Supreme Court state or federal offices.
Yeah. Or take, for example, that Amador Ketchup several years ago,
so
which went beyond just the geographical jurisdiction.
So now are we leaving that in here?
No, this proposed removed. Change is not agreed to, and we have...
Why don't Chris read, or... I'll read them in the end.
That's fine, because I can address that.
Chairman, sorry, Chris reads what we discussed, and then we can go from there.
So our proposed amendment would be a second sentence under Section 2B, which would be, this local law shall not extend to contests for municipal office or referendums if such contests or referendums cross beyond the geographical borders of the County of Ulster, State of
Michigan. Excellent.
Can you give me that in writing? Because I have to type this all up before tomorrow.
It's right.
You want to read the rest of them? Because we had after the body voted on it, there were two changes that we agreed to. One lost
and certification.
And one we were going to add a definition of recanvas.
Right.
Do you have those in front of you?
I don't have the recanvas definition, but I can certainly get it by tomorrow. I mean, it would be a general definition of the phrase.
The other change I think that had come up that was agreeable was the change in the opt-out that before certification. Wasn't that
correct? And I think the county attorney's office and legislative council are in agreement on those proposed amendments.
Okay.
And I can set them forth specifically.
Thank you.
Section 3A currently reads, forthwith, after a primary, regular, or special election for municipal office, we would propose to amend to include and prior to certification of final vote, comma, the Ulster County Board of Elections shall manually, and then it will continue on.
Section
3A.
And B, right?
3A, 3B, and 3C.
Okay.
Yeah, to maintain the consistency.
And before certification of the final results?
Correct.
Right here? That would be.
Are you fine with results? The word results?
Sure. But
okay.
I would prefer to use prior to instead of before.
Okay, prior to.
Just because it's consistent with another section in the
That's already in the. That's already here.
Yeah, we agree.
So that goes in both in B and C also.
Correct.
Same word.
Yep. We'll help get you back up.
All right. You have to stay here afterwards.
Yeah, fine.
Now, what about these other red line things? This. That's going to be.
Yeah, that's end before certification of final result.
Yeah, so that's good.
That's agreed to, yeah. At least I agree to that.
And that's one. Okay.
So. Can we move into the... Is there any more that you have that...
I have two more.
Okay.
Under D, Section 3, sub D.
Yep.
Just the word original should be...
Stricken?
Stricken.
What's the purpose for that? I'm just curious. It doesn't add anything, could confuse things?
Yeah, it's just for clarification.
Yeah.
Correct. And then finally, Section... G under, I'm sorry, Section 3G, changing the word recount to recanvassing. It would be under the second.
Okay.
Oh, it's already done.
And that's already done.
Yeah. It's already been done. Okay.
Yep.
Good.
So that just leaves 3E.
3E, right.
Which we did speak of with Legislative Council, and the recommendations from the county attorney is in red line, but we don't have an agreement on that.
And everywhere it's before, you want it prior to.
Right, prior to.
All right, so what are we doing with E?
Again, you know, the E is, again, as County Attorney Brannick said, is a suggestion just to help to clarify things from Commissioner Kellner. So that's all I can report.
What's the language now?
Right now the language reads, the method of recanvassing as prescribed in this local law shall be In accordance with the New York State Board of Elections.
But can the County Board of Elections do anything that's different than what the state law is already?
Yes, they have to follow the state law?
Well, they could define, I mean, the implication that I would is that they could, that Ulster, because there is no provision for manual recount in the New York State election law, Kellner's recommendation was that the...
Its own policy.
Its own procedures in advance of the election and...
Can I ask a question? What if they don't agree? You know, what if the one chairman wants this set for a recount and the other chairman wants a different set? I'm just playing the devil's advocate. I don't know what the answer would be.
It comes with the count. One half of 1% or whatever.
It's automatic.
There's no...
But they had to figure out how the Ulster County Board of Elections are going to have to figure out how they're going to actually carry it out, wouldn't they? So the policy on how they're going to carry it out. What are they going to do? How are they going to actually... do the nuts and bolts from carrying it out.
Well,
because they literally trade out.
It's a re-canvas, not a recount. It's a re-canvas.
Right.
Or a canvas. I mean, to say we will sit down and go from ballot to ballot is pretty much understood, just like they count the absentees.
All right, so let's if I could just go back, I'll make a motion that we amend the local law to read as follows, make the following changes to the local law, which is section, this is going to be interesting,
Section 2B.
No, we don't have to change that. It already reads...
They were adding a sentence.
Adding the sentence.
But we don't need
to add it. This local law shall not extend...
This local law shall not extend...
Mm-hmm.
To contests for municipal office or referendums... If such contests or referendums cross beyond the geographical borders of the County of Ulster, State of New York.
Didn't we already say that?
No.
In the earlier one? So I'll make the races in Ulster County.
But we're clarifying it further.
For purposes of the amendment.
Sections 3A, 3B, and 3C will all be amended to include the phrase and before certification and prior to certification of the final result.
Where does that go in?
It goes in after municipal office in every paragraph, correct? So,
some races are held still within the county, but still,
it goes in 3B, the jurisdiction of the race.
Yep. 3A, 3B, and 3A and 3B are right after municipal office.
Fourth was the primary, regular, or special election for municipal office prior.
But prior to certification. Yes.
And prior to the Ulster County Board of Elections, prior to certification
of the final result.
The final vote count.
Vote count, that's fine.
The final vote count. The Ulster County Board of Elections said manually canvass all paper ballots for a given office where one person is elected.
And
all the other places.
And prior to certification of the final vote count.
Vote count in each case.
Yeah.
And then.
The election of the final vote count.
And then C. In the same spot, only it says forthwith after an election or referendum, but prior to blah, 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 blah. It's okay, blah, 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 right?
And prior to
certification of the final vote count. And then in 3E, we are deleting automatic, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
But are we putting in the other red line things? No.
In that one, we're just deleting automatic.
And what about the other red line?
We're not
established by the
old. We're not doing anything with that. We're just leaving it the way it was.
So that's going to become
so 3D. I just we're
striking original. Correct.
Right.
And 3E will read the method of recanvassing as prescribed in this local law shall be in accordance with New York State election law.
No, with the New York State Board of Elections. No, you're right. In accordance with the New York State election law.
Right.
You're right. Sorry, it's confusing with everything's red. Right.
Yeah.
And the established by Elster County Board of Elections.
No, that's not changed. So it's going to say the method of recanvassing as prescribed in this local law shall be in accordance with the New York State election law.
Okay.
Chris, are you okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's our change.
Okay.
So, and those are the amendments that I'm making.
I'll second them.
So moved. Seconded by me.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I just have something to say. I have a little timeline here for you folks. It's sort of endemic of what's going on around this place. This legislation was filed on October 29th. Came before this committee. Laws and rules. November 17th. We talked about it, said it was no rush in this. Wanted opinions and thoughts from everybody. Commissioners Turco and Deputy Commissioner Gay were there. December 15th. Laws and rules. No one from the Board of Elections. Ken Cronell was here. Ms. Steves was here. Resolution amended to set a public hearing for February 17th. December 17th, Ways and Means, Cronell and Golnick were here. Mr. Engel, Ms. Polonsky was here. According to the minutes, there was no discussion. Resolution passed unanimously. Public hearing. Tim Gay stood up and made some convoluted statements that were actually incorrect, but it's typical of what he does. March 16th. Laws and rules. No one from the executive's office, attorney's office, passed unanimously. March 17th, Ken Cronell, Bert Golnick, Mr. Engel, Ms. Steves, on the 17th of March. It passed 15-8. County executive's hearing, public hearing, April 1. April 8th, all of a sudden all the bad stuff started happening. All these words are changed. We knew when it passed that there were two things that had to be changed, one from one to lost, and one another little code word. I forget what it was at this point.
Prior to certification. Prior to certification.
Whatever it was. We whacked it out in one, and we forgot to do it in the other sentence. Suddenly, everybody's got a better idea. I talked to counsel. He was happy with it. And then we recently got a letter, I don't know how long ago it was, from everybody's quoting Commissioner Keller. We got a letter from Keller early on telling us, suggesting the one to lost. Otherwise, he supported the whole thing. And then he wrote a letter down and he said, well, I guess this is what I understand. I read the letter. I read his words and I have friends up there. Well, if you folks want some stylistic changes, you know, like under the shade of the old oak tree or whatever you want to talk about, here's some thoughts and words for you. And what was pretty simple and straightforward came to all these amendments, which I don't care about because this is one of the things that wasn't thought about first somewhere else. But stylistic, they were begging, please send us anything, sir, so we can justify their position over their work and I guess it was Gay, and then the folks up here say, well, yeah, well, maybe we should change the word and maybe leave the M out on almost and it'll have a different meaning and we can bring it up again as incorrect some other time. So it's really interesting.
whatever we got to do, we pass it. They'll troop somebody through next week.
Tomorrow.
But the fact of the matter is, I spoke to the executive. I told them, because it was passed before they knew anything about these problems. I said, veto it. Veto it, and we'll do it again. Well, will you really do it? Yes. As soon as it's filed with Albany, and they have it, and they acknowledge it, which takes some months to do, we will do it. We're doing it. Suddenly, so all sorts of work come out. So, it's been an interesting 2 years, and the good Lord willing, I'll be around another 2 years, but I know where the nonsense is coming from, I'll tell you. And I think the rest of you ought to start to pay a little bit of attention to suddenly something that was so transparent, October 29th, and not a comment until after it was passed in April. Something's wrong, folks. Thank you.
Okay. I'm just going to say, I actually read the email too, and I Googled stylistic changes, and there's really no definite. I couldn't find a definition I could understand or explain. So I think it was just a nice way of telling Tim and those guys that if this makes you feel good, I'll recommend something to change.
Sure.
But it didn't. It was not. You could just by reading his email, you knew he was like, this makes you happy. But there's clearly nothing substantial or that would.
Because anything that would have been substantial would have been caught before we voted on it.
So, okay. Thank you, everybody, for your hard work.
On the amendments?
On the amendments.
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried 6-0.
And then as amended?
As amended.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried 6-0. Okay. Thank you.
You're already signed, and in fact, now Joe signed in my spot.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks, Clint.
Did I really?
Thank you, folks.
Oh, darn. That makes it even.
Yeah.
Okay.
I signed in there, so you signed in mine.
We're pretty good here.
What are you working with?
Let's
resolution 262, adopting proposed local law.
It's all right. The signatures are on there.
Number five, a local law amending the Elster County Charter to clarify the powers and duties of the audit committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have
thank
a good
you.
Week.
Take care,
guys.
Take care.
I'll move
Ronk,
it.
Second by.
I'll second it.
Again, if I could, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I was very stunned to find out that there were some issues with this in the Democratic caucus because
in which now
the audit committee.
Oh, okay.
Because I believe, and I could be wrong, that this has been around since April. I think I put it in for a May introduction specifically to give people some time to take a look at them. And I think that's a very important change. And my counsel, Counsel Guerin, and I had worked very hard to try and find the best way to make the audit a really independent audit, and our choice of auditor really an independent choice, independent of the person sitting in the executive's office whose books are being looked at. I think it's dangerous to have the person whose books are being audited have a veto power over the auditor. And the best way we thought we could do it was to go with the intent of the Charter Revision Commission, which was that the audit committee choose the auditor. The only reason that the audit committee's recommendation had come to the legislature at all is because of the way we pass contracts in the legislature. So it has nothing to do with the choice of the auditor. Should we pay them?
We
or
had
not.
Some changes that they thought would work. What were they again?
They won't work, though. Any changes we make aren't going to work for this year. It's going to go on referendum next year. There's no time left. There was time in April when I introduced it. There's no time now.
To get on this November's ballot?
Oh,
correct.
But we can pass something tonight.
There are some changes in the audit committee thing. They just take out references to the administrative code. Those changes could be made tonight. Those are not substantive. Those are because you don't have to vote on administrative.
But this is a resolution that is yours. So if you agree with our changes, why can't we send it to the floor?
Because this is adopting the proposed local law. If we make changes to the local law,
we have to change this resolution to setting a public hearing on proposed local law number blank.
Vicki tells me no. Vicki says that the attorneys have agreed that you don't have to do that, but this is only taking out references to administrative code.
What were the changes that,
This is not the same.
Did we ever vote on that? I never heard anybody vote on that the other night.
We had a discussion.
We're not talking about
that. Had a discussion.
We are.
Isn't this?
But we voted on it.
Wait,
no. This is adopting the. We've already had the public hearing on this.
He wanted to make it so in other words, she was concerned.
That was
about
she didn't want the chairman to make appointments, and she didn't want the executive, and she didn't want the minority leader to make appointments.
Who's this?
Tracy. That's what that was. You're talking about the college?
Yeah, it was,
Well, who makes the appointment? Well, a minority leader makes one or two. The chairperson makes one or two.
There was something else. The problem is we can't send it to the floor of the legislature. We pass it in the legislature, then you can veto it.
Yeah, we will.
Which has nothing to do with
it. That's one at a time.
So we're trying to figure out a way, if they came up with it, a way that made people more comfortable than just the committee doing it. In a way. So
why have an audit committee?
I think what they did was a way. I'm trying to remember how
they want to say the executive shall have something like this. The executive shall have the power to veto all laws and resolutions except for the audit committee. It's like. When you start making exemptions on a veto, it becomes ridiculous.
I don't have a problem with it, to be honest with you, because the
problem with what?
With resolution.
We already had the public hearing.
So what's the problem?
Was anybody opposed to it?
We don't have votes to pass it?
Oh, I think we have the votes to pass it. I don't believe we have the, well, we definitely don't have the votes for a veto override, I don't think.
We don't know that.
But.
Can I just
say? That was the feedback I got from the Democratic caucus.
Well, you know what?
Well, no.
Let's start Donson.
I don't know about that, and I mean, because my take on this is very simple. The executive cannot have a say in who this auditor is.
I agree.
That's plain and simple. And then him vetoing that last one was really against the very nature of the charter.
Of an audit.
He was technically, of an auditor in general, but he could do it because it was a resolution passed by the legislature. So the way around that, of course, is the committee can be. But I think we can still pass this, and then what we could do is then we could structure the way our committee, we can rearrange the structure of that committee. And the way the committee is actually put together. In other words, we could turn around and say that from here on the committee, the way we're going to put the committee together would be, it's an automatic. We can make it an automatic one where the chairman of this committee, the laws and rules will be on it.
Not without a charter change, we can't.
I think you can.
Can I just make a quick comment?
It doesn't have to be a legislator.
Listen, you don't have to be a legislator.
Right.
Listen, my suggestion is we vote on the law that we all voted on already to have the public hearing. We're not changing the law, and the executive, by signing it, is not changing the charter. The voters are going to have to decide it. So if we pass this, which it's going to pass the legislature, he's got a choice. Either the voters have a say.
Or they don't.
In the charter, or he doesn't want to have the voters to have a say on who audits his books. It's pretty darn simple to me. And if he wants to veto it, then he's obviously is concerned about the people that is going to be looking into his books, and he doesn't want the public to have a say. And if that's the case, then we go to Plan B. We either try to override a veto, or the voters then know we've got an executive that doesn't want people examining his books who he doesn't want to.
This is not perfect, but it's better than what we have at this point, is the way I kind of look at it.
Let's agree.
Yeah, as I remember the discussion in the caucus, I think the intention was to make a change that was as simple as possible and would prevent a veto of the audit committee's decision.
But who's mentioned veto?
The auditor.
No.
Tracy did. She felt the simplest way, if my memory serves me correctly.
No, what I'm saying, did the executive's office go to Tracy and say, I'm going to veto this?
Oh, I don't know.
No. She was worried because she had done that.
She doesn't want the committee to make the decision, I believe. She wants the legislature to still have a say, but the executive to not be able to veto it.
That's
I don't even
right.
care about that either.
That's
but we could change that.
Well, number one, that
we could change that once That's an administrative thing. No, we could change the rules of the legislature for that.
No, it's all spelled out in the charter. The makeup of the committee is spelled out in the charter.
Listen, if you all got to play games, make it two contracts for $40,000 and $8,000.
Thought about it.
You know what? Can I just make a comment?
Let's be honest. If that's the way life is, that's what they do when they want to hire
counsel. When we were going to do that, Mike told me to my face, if you guys do that, I'm going to instruct Bert not to cut the checks.
Well, we shouldn't. You know what? Ben's audit wouldn't have been done, and he wouldn't be able to do that. So we should have called him.
Under $50,000. It's up to him.
You know, then there's something wrong with this legislature.
Can I just? I suggest we move this and pass it, and. Well, Tracy, with all due respect to Tracy, she should have made the recommendation before we had the public hearing. This law had been out there discussed for a long time. Why didn't she make the amendment before we went to a public hearing? It's nothing more than slowing it down.
If Legislator Green has any concerns, I could try to help her understand where I'm coming from. I'm happy to, though. I mean,
you know, I have to say, this problem with the audit precedes my tenure. And I find it extremely confusing. I mean, I've been really trying to follow it, and I understand the basic principle, and I agree with the basic principle. All right, so just simplify for me.
Okay.
Just summarize what this change is.
Okay. So when the Charter Revision Commission met, one of the things that the Revision Commission itself had
talked... history. The history is the Charter Commission... You can then get into
it. I think I'm familiar with that.
The Charter Audit Committee picked an auditor.
Right.
Not prior to the Charter Revision Commission.
Not... No,
was there was no audit committee prior to the Charter Revision Commission.
The Charter Revision, right?
Ways and Means...
Used to do it. Right. The initial audit committee... The audit committee picked an auditor... And they picked a different auditor than who had been auditing the books for many years,
mm-hmm.
who happened to give campaign contributions also, that auditor that audited the books.
This isn't the beginning.
But. So the audit committee recommended it. Mike didn't like the change, so he vetoed it. The Charter Review Commission, everybody on that commission that has spoken to us, has said their intent was the executive has no say.
No, their intent very specifically was that the audit committee shall choose the auditor.
Right. And, but Mike,
that was how it was written.
But Mike and B somehow spun it that, well, all contracts over $50,000 have to go through them. So that's how he would have lost in court because I don't see how he would have won.
We should have sued him, but we didn't.
Jeanette, a few of the Democrats refused to go override his veto. They supported Mike. So then the new audit committee was picked, and Dave, were you on it? No. Yeah, Dave, no, Ken and I, and there's Tracy.
Rich Gerentine
are on it, and we chose another auditor because Ken Cornell came to the first meeting, a non-voting member, and flat out said, the executive's going to veto if you choose the same person.
Yep.
So we didn't want to have a fight.
Yep.
So basically what happened was, the charter defines the audit committee that's going to audit the executive's books to be with this audit committee of five people. And, you know, Ken and Mike got involved. We invited Mike to come speak to the meeting, and Mike would not speak to the
audit committee.
You're
not getting to the base of the problem.
The problem is we're trying to change it so that the executive can't veto it anymore. He or she does not have a say in who audits their books. That's all this does.
But that's exactly the, you know, that was Tracy's conclusion, is if that's what we're trying to do.
But that's what we are doing.
No, what Tracy's conclusion was, he wanted the legislature to make the decision, not this. And see, what happens is, right, the last time the legislature made a decision, it passed a resolution. But due to the fact that a resolution is passed, he feels that, you know, because it does say in the charter, he can veto resolutions. But, and it's a little gray in reference to the auditor, although the intent of every one of the commissioners, Tom Cage, in fact, he was here, who was a staunch supporter of Mike's, was really pissed about it. He was mad that he vetoed that. He said because he should not have that ability to veto that. So what happened was, but he didn't veto it. He didn't like that choice. And, well, for whatever reason, and that's, you know, his prerogative. I don't know if there's anything behind that or not, but he just didn't want the choice because they were somewhat critical of his budget the year before. So as
in
a
another
result,
right.
So as a result, you've vetoed it. We could not override that veto, so we had to end up bringing in another audit committee, and the audit another audit.
We almost
committee,
lost federal funding.
Yeah,
because,
yeah,
well, you
yes.
know what?
The other audit committee was afraid. They said, you know what? And I, you know, they talked to me, look. We got this other person, they're just as good, so we're just going to go with this rather than have a fight. But the problem lies still in that fact that the executive should never have any influence on that because his books are the ones that are being audited. So as a result, the best way to do that, to stop that, is not actually have to create a resolution that the audit committee chooses that the auditor and then that's it. So it doesn't go in for resolution, so he can't veto anything because there's no resolution.
And he
veto.
Can't stop the funding of it.
But Ken just said the operative word. If you hadn't done anything, what would have happened?
We would have lost federal funding.
Well, somebody's got to learn how to play hardball and play real politics then. We don't do it. The executive doesn't want to be audited because they didn't give him a contribution. It's up to you, sir.
My issue
and
is,
go and sit home.
I understand where you come from with that, but my concern with things of that nature is, do we punish the taxpayers because of the thick-headed actions of one person?
You're not going to punish the taxpayers. He's got to be under the tax code.
Somebody has to make a decision then.
He's got way too many of them.
All right, but I don't want to, you know, at this point, I'm not looking to...
Change the local law.
Yeah, I'm not looking to get into any of the... you know, the individuals involved in this, my mindset is about the process and about the way good government is supposed to work, and that's how good government works.
Well, Kenny tried to do that. Now
good government works in a manner that, good government has to work in a manner that there's, the county executive is held accountable. Part of that old being held accountable is an audit committee, and that's really where it is, and you can't have the very person being held accountable choosing who's going to hold them accountable. Yeah.
Nowhere in the world,
so,
except those two counties, can a person being audited have a say in who does their books. No, think of another organization where the boss picks the person to audit their books. So what Tracy's trying to do is basically, she doesn't want the executive to have a say. She agrees with the base of the law.
Yeah.
Yes.
She just wants it to go to the legislature instead of the order committee. And I'm not opposed to that, but it should have been brought up before we went out for the
vote.
And Erica,
it's
not as easy as you think.
How do you bring it to the legislature without a resolution to vote on?
Again, that's
and
where
then again
we,
you create the same
hit.
Problem you're
right,
trying to avoid.
Listen, I'm fine with it.
If nobody believes in the committee system, then just have a
committee. My take on it is, if you pass this the way it is, we can then at some point, once this gets to, you know, once
if the voters approve it.
Mm-hmm. Then we can create some type of a check on the audit committee. We can figure out a way of checking the audit committee. If that's what we were worried about. If that's the worry, I think we can figure out a way of...
That's what I'd rather do. I'd rather move forward with this, and then if it doesn't
work
out...
Otherwise, you got to wait for 2 more years.
You already had a public hearing,
right?
Yeah, we did. We're good.
I'll vote yes.
Okay, any more questions? Comments?
You do need to.
Oh,
make the
yes,
amendments.
I'm sorry. I would like to make the amendment that's listed here. This is a change from B. Havranek because this is going, we're going to have to change the administrative code afterwards. Erica was trying to do it together, but since it's going to referendum, we don't change the administrative code by referendum. So we removed all of the references to the administrative code.
So Ken Ross making the amendment to remove references to administrative code?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll second that. That's fine.
And that's written up there.
It's how it's presented.
It makes a big deal one way or the other.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
on the amendment?
The we're fine with.
On the amendment?
It's just a matter of passing.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 6-0. On the resolution as amended?
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor?
I'm going to be a no on the resolution. Okay. Just because I know it's taken a very long time, but it doesn't feel to me like it's exactly where it needs to be. So
I'll talk to you afterwards. That was on that audit committee.
And I have between now and the...
Tomorrow.
And tomorrow
to
be convinced. But
I can tell you, man, we looked into other ways around it, and there's just no... Because if we said, well, this can't be vetoed, yeah, then it becomes inconsistent with the rest of the charter, and then it screws everything all up.
Well,
you knock off one rung of the ladder, and all of a sudden it's not a ladder anymore.
And the thing is, everybody from Jerry Benjamin to Tom Cage, and Jerry Benjamin being more of a conservative sort of a guy, and Tom Cage being more of a liberal sort of an animal, agree with this. In other words, they were effective. Cajun came in, was actually, I was surprised.
He was on the subcommittee that went.
He was on the subcommittee. He was quite aggravated over that. And he's a very strong supporter of Mike. He was very aggravated that the thing was vetoed, and he felt, we had to do this.
Okay. Okay, all right. Now we're on, carried 5-1. Resolution 272, setting public hearing on proposed local law number 11, 2015.
The Ulster County Animal Abuse Registry.
Kenny, didn't we pass something similar to this about 7 years ago?
No. We discussed it, but we never moved on it.
And I'm sorry, I forgot who moved it.
An actual registry as opposed to the abuse law that we...
Yes, that we passed a tethering law. This is an animal abuse registry. It's going to be operated by the district attorney or such animal rights group as the district attorney may designate. It has the ability for Holly to designate the Ulster County SPCA to run it under his direction. And really the two 272 and 273, the local laws number 11 and 12, proposed local laws number 11 and 12, they go hand in hand. The registry... Well, anybody convicted in Ulster County of an animal abuse crime, and it lists all the animal abuse crimes from Ag and Markets Law in the law, is going to be required to go on this registry. And
for how long?
I want to say 15 years.
Huh?
I want to say 15 years, but I have to look.
Well, if it's a 16-year-old kid, you'd hate
even to... Even if they're not guilty?
No, if they're, they have to be found guilty in a court. Or an adjudicated guilty, like a plead of guilty.
Can I ask a question?
But a 16-year-old kid would probably not count.
Well, we don't know. Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Can we hold off on the 232 for a month? Because you know what? This is a huge resolution, and honestly, I'd like to have more time.
272?
No, 230. It says resolution 230. Oh, I'm looking. Right, the bigger one.
I'm not in favor of holding off on it.
273.
But?
Did you read the whole thing?
Yes. And went through it exhaustively with the county attorney's office. And made some changes.
273. Same thing.
I said 15 years. You're on the registry. It's only a public hearing, so you got another month before we got to adopt it.
You're talking about the regulation of pets, though. I've been away for 2 weeks, and it's just a big.
Most of it's straight from the New York State Ag and Markets Law. Most of it's codifying in this law the Ag and Markets Law requirements for pet dealers.
Right?
Yes.
So
you got a whole other month.
Anybody can point out would have to either be overridden or
correct. So just getting back to the pet sellers law, you have to be on all persons 18 years of age or older who reside in Ulster County and are convicted of an animal abuse crime on or after the effective date of this local law must register within 10 days, and you're on the registry for 15 years.
Oh, that's not the.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How many pet sellers are there in Ulster County?
We don't know. There's no way to tell because they don't have to register.
So, do you really think people that are raising dogs in their backyard are going to register for this?
No.
Or if my dog gets.
That's like saying, but
okay, yeah, listen, I'm just saying. I mean, it's fine. It just seems to me it could be a lot of work, and you're going to be chasing people down. And you know what? You might have two registered pet sellers at the end of the day.
I think you're going to find that more often than not, they know who some of them are.
Do you have to be a business, or can just an individual be a pet seller? Do you have to?
An individual can be a pet seller. But the definition of a pet seller is in the. Well, why don't we focus on the registry first, and then we'll go to pet sellers next.
All right, the registry, you said they had to be 18 in order to be convicted.
Anybody 18 years or older convicted of an animal abuse crime. Animal abuse crimes are, that answers the 16
problem.
And it's 15 years you have to be on there. What?
If they move, do they have to report it?
Yes, within 10 days.
What if the other place doesn't have an abuse registry?
Well, if they move
to a county that doesn't have an abuse registry.
It doesn't matter. They're still on ours. They stay on ours, but at their new address. Because
So if they move to Florida, they have to report
that they move to Florida until such time as they're no longer required to be on the registry. You could be in Florida and still buy a dog from a New York State, you know, from an Ulster County pet seller.
I get that.
And that's where the effectiveness of this local law comes in, is in the next one. Because anybody who registers and has a license as a pet dealer cannot sell, must check the registry and can't sell to anybody on the registry.
But can somebody go to Dutchess County and buy a dog if they're on that registry?
In theory. But you're gonna hope that pet dealers in Dutchess County don't want dogs to get, you know, hacked off, you know.
If somebody's got a dog,
well, I bought my. That's where I got my dog. Was in Dutchess County.
If somebody's got a dog and they for $1,000,
I've been riding by and they said they had beagles.
Listen, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's not gonna. You're not gonna have the desired intended. You know.
It should be something the state's doing, but the state's not doing it, and we've had a lot of issues with animal abuse in Ulster County recently.
If somebody that abuses an animal in Saugerties can go 5 miles up the road to Green County and buy a dog and bring it back and raise it, this law really is not going to be very effective. Or their cousin could buy it and then give them the dog. They could give their cousin money.
Well,
because Dave's one dog or cat's worth it to me.
I don't agree with that reasoning here that you had, but I don't agree with Rich's either. In that, you know, let's face reality. Every law we pass, no matter what it is, the people that they are determined, they can get around them.
Just curiously, what's the purpose? I mean, I can see a sex register, so people are worried about that guy living down the street.
Yeah.
With their kids. What's the purpose of this?
The purpose of the animal abuse registry is that anybody who has to register as a pet dealer, anybody who sells dogs for profit more than 9 per year, more than 2 litters per year, that's what's defined as a pet dealer, cannot sell to anybody on the registry. And if it's found out that through their business records or whatever that they sold to somebody on the registry, they lose their license.
The only problem I see with that is that
that's
you,
it.
You know, you,
yeah, and there's a fine, and there's
it's really going after the pet sellers, but most people that sell pets may not. Yeah, I bet you, out of all everybody that buys a pet, the number that actually buy from the pet seller as defined in here probably is not that large. I bet you that's
a
small number.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I would like to see, are we going to get a, can the legislature get a report once a year?
It's got to be that.
Can we get a report from the DA or it's going to be the DA administering that.
Yeah.
Could we put in there that the DA needs to supply the clerk of the legislature with a report on the number, on the name and, of abusers and the name, the...
Better than that, it's going to be a publicly available list.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they sent it to us.
It's gonna be. Oh, we can put a reporting in there too.
Put sex abuse registry.
What?
Like the sex abuse.
Yeah, it's gonna be online on the DA's website. But we could add something.
Once a year,
that would be so innocuous that if we wanted to add that, you know, when we're adopting it, we could add it when we're adopting it without needing another public hearing.
Because I just get the feeling it'll be one of those laws that's just forgotten about, in my opinion.
I don't think. I mean, I can tell you that Holly's gung ho for it. I know Paul Van Blarkum supports it. So
I don't listen. I'm all for it. It just seems to me, if somebody can go from Saugerties or Kingston or Stone Ridge to Dutchess, Orange, or Green County to get a dog, how much are you really preventing animal abusers from getting an animal?
And how many people are really going to register as pet sellers?
And it's a step, for me, it's a step in the right direction. You know, there's study after study after study shows that people who abuse humans, people who kill people, started killing animals and abusing animals.
The state will do it, and then everybody will have to do it.
Exactly.
And that then becomes much more.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So, 272.
All in favor?
The animal abuse registry.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Carried 6-0. And then we don't have, now we're going to do the next one.
Yeah, pet sellers.
3-3.
I'll move it.
Any discussion, or I think we
have a second.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Well, I'd like to say I'll vote it for the public hearing, but I'm not going to support it on the floor. I think it's useless, more regulations, that it's unnecessary. Somebody wants to make a few bucks selling pets on the side, we're going to regulate it?
No. If someone's looking to sell less than 9 dogs per year, then no, we're not going to regulate it.
9 could be considered a few.
I guess. That's a hell of a puppy mill for...
It's two litters. It's two dogs. You know, two dogs could have 9
Right. One dog could have one dog could have nine.
So
at this point in time, if you're not fixing your dogs, you're looking to breed them to make money. That's
no. And that's what this country is all about.
I ended up never bred the dog, but I didn't have them fixed either.
I'm talking females in particular.
Okay. Did you vote?
I will vote yes to get it to the floor.
So, on 273, that's the public hearing on the pet sellers, regulating the pet sellers. We discussed that too. All in favor?
Aye.
I'll support it for you, yeah, but I mean, I agree somewhat with it, but I don't know, you know, when you're talking about nine puppies being sold, I don't know how many people are going to actually register, and I don't know how effective it would end up being.
Do you make laws based on who's going to register? I don't think that's the way you make laws.
No, it's not about that. It's the idea that most are not sold, so it's like giving you this false hope that something is really going to be accomplished. Right. Which is,
There's also, in the pet sellers, there's also consumer protections, because a lot of the dogs that are raised in substandard conditions end up developing complications and health conditions that are very expensive to the family that purchases the animal. And there's consumer protections in there that when you're selling the dog, that you're selling a healthy dog. And if the dog presents complications, that the vet can draw back to when the dog was purchased, the pet seller can be liable for vet bills and a refund for the dog.
Rishi, where'd you get your dog from, that rescue dog? From the other side of the river?
Westchester County.
Would they be registered here if he bought a dog from them?
If he got a dog from a shelter,
they're not
considered pet sellers. They're exempt from pet sellers because you're not purchasing the dog from them. Giving them. It's not a purchase. It's an adoption fee.
I think we gave.
It's an adoption fee or a donation or something like that that goes towards the care of the animals. They're exempt.
But if the pet seller is from Westchester County and Richie goes to buy it and brings it back, are they?
No.
We can't do anything?
We can't regulate businesses outside of Ulster County.
Okay, listen, they're both motion and pass. You know, I'm just going to finish up my concern. We're always hearing from the DA, not always, but I've been on the committee.
Yeah.
Criminal Justice Holly is always doing more with less, and so is Sheriff and Barkham. I mean, is this going to...
Now they're going to
shift us over to the SPCA, but then what we need to start doing is giving the SPCA a little more money.
Well, this would be a contract with the SPCA, and it would cover, if they contracted with the SPCA, there'd be money attached to it.
Yeah, we need to decide. We can't.
Well, let's first of all see if anybody gets in trouble. If nobody's getting in trouble, then we don't need anybody to, let's see how it does for us.
I don't know. To me, maybe the opposite of what Kevin's saying. Maybe it needs to be.
I can tell you that since...
I just wondered if you had... There was a lot of cross-endorsement for the tethering law. Had you talked to others about co-sponsoring?
Yes, it's co-sponsored by Lynn right now.
Okay.
Done both sides.
Okay, great.
I can tell you there's
no... She can't get internet to Radcord, so she's focusing on the dogs. That was her main campaign, is finds out big businesses don't really care what the local politicians have to say.
There have been at least three really significant instances of animal abuse in the last couple of years. There was a guy, Holly actually got one of the first convictions for felony cruelty to animals, with a gentleman who was hunting on somebody else's private property and shot the family dog in front of the family with a sharp tip arrow, and the dog bled out in front of the whole family. And he'd be on the registry. And there was a poor dog that was beaten to death in Rochester. Mm-hmm. There are two dogs in the last
Rochester
year.
Rochester, tough area.
Yeah, that were just bludgeoned, a dachshund, with almost every bone in the dog's body was broken. A certain kind of evil to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And if Holly can't prove that the person beating the dog to death intended the dog to die, it's a misdemeanor.
Okay.
Ken, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
See this right here?
Yes.
I just got bit the other day, a week ago, it's healed, with my 11-month-old granddaughter in my arms. The dog attacked me.
Yep. Where
was that?
Now, huh?
Where was that?
I was standing in Robert's driveway, and Bill's dog didn't just came right at me and lashed into me.
The pit bull or the lab?
The black one.
Wow.
And
lab,
you know,
or pit bull?
Now,
lab.
My point is, if I didn't have the baby, I would have killed the dog because there was a big rock there.
Yes. Not cruelty to animals.
That's not cruelty to animals. The guy shot him in front of the family.
He did.
Had I killed him, no. Had I killed him, it would have been in front of the girls screaming to get the dog back.
There's a difference between a dog sniffing a tree in the woods.
I didn't have to kill it. Now, that's the difference. I didn't kill it because I didn't.
An overzealous prosecutor
I didn't
want
kill
to make
it.
A point on somebody.
Ken, I don't think so.
Ken, I didn't kill it because I had the baby in my arms.
Right. You can't throw the baby at the dog.
And I couldn't throw the baby anywhere. I mean, and that's why I just sent him a note. Everybody wants me. Everybody in our family. Did you call him? Did you scream at him? I just sent him a nice little note. Bill, is it real? Because I have to tell you the whole story. I said to somebody, you know,
he had a steak.
I'm going to send him a note and said,
hand pocket.
Said if that had been one of the Robbie or Nicole's little ones coming down here, or had it been some elderly person, and then I realized I was one of them, and I didn't go down. But I mean, you say somebody killed somebody, and I killed that. I would have killed it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
with a rock.
There's protections in the law for things of that nature, is my point. There's
and people would have said, oh, it's because he's a legislator. Or he used to be.
He used to be.
Anyway, I'm just saying, there's always little avenues.
Okay. We got that done now. New business.
All right, I got something I want to read to you folks. I won't take long, I promise. Okay. But you have to bear with me.
Because it sounds like you're going to take long.
I'm going to read from an excerpt from the county executive's State of the County address in January 2014.
Campaign finance.
One of the biggest problems undermining public trust in government is the reality of money in politics. Although I cannot fix the national problem, I do intend to do something about it locally. Tonight I am proposing new legislation that places strict limitations on campaign contributions to any county official from anyone doing business with the county government. It is an aggressive step and it is to be done specifically for the people. Though there will undoubtedly be those who ask why a county executive oppose a law that is likely to affect the county executive more than anyone else, my answer is simple. I believe in the people. I believe in good government. I believe it is the right thing to do. Campaign finance reform will help our democracy for the future. Now, I think you all might have gotten an email today about this new law, my proposal. On top of it, I've sent it out to Common Cause, our state legislators, anybody who wants to copy. This is not something that I am proposing today, but I will give it to the chair. It has become clear to me that personal judgment in this area is insufficient. Because to those of you that might have listened to what I said in March of 2014, I said I agreed with it, and I've been waiting for the executive to work with me on this since then. I want this to be draconian, and then let you folks chip away at it. I want to go back. There's a note here from Jay. I wanted to go back 4 years and make a retroactive. Now, I understand we can't change state law. So the big premise from me on my position is that it will not be against the rules for somebody to give a donation to you or me. It'll be on my shoulders to reject it. It's not against the law for a contractor to give a donation to the controller or the sheriff or the executive. It'll be up to them. And I'm going to be including anybody who was appointed to the job, going to parties, going to fundraisers, anybody under your care, custody, and control. For instance, the folks that work out here, I would not allow them to come and contribute to my campaign. I feel very serious about this. I have a little list here in case anybody doesn't think it's a national problem. These are just a few of the people that are in the slammer right now making quilts.
Or on their way to the slammer.
These are not even the ones on their way to the slammer. And there's a lot more than that. I just wrote that down real quickly. I know we're minor leaguers. It's not the major leagues. It's not T-ball. This is the minor leagues right here. But it's serious stuff. And when I see $280,000 in donations in a campaign fund, and I'm not focusing on anybody because I've worked on this for a year, I want it to be more and more difficult. We're calling it the pay-to-play local law. And I want to have plenty of time to discuss it, like you could assure, you could insist on, obviously, because I don't believe in...
I'd like to co-sponsor with you.
Well, then you're welcome to it. Anybody else who wants to is welcome to it, because let me just say this. I think I'm smart enough to know that I don't have all the answers, or maybe any of the answers. But I want you to think about the fact that I cannot, and I don't even believe, quite frankly. So sometimes with all of my type of colleagues scream about the Supreme Court, saying we have to limit what I can give to you. I understand there. They may very well be right. It's up to you, candidate, to say, no, thank you. I don't want it. So we're even talking about in here, it's not written in this part, you know the little things on television saying, I support this ad? You know, if you call Dave Donaldson a dirty dog, and then John Perry's got to go, and I support this ad.
Yeah, you do it at the top, so by the time you call them a dirty dog, they don't remember.
I won't remember. So I would appreciate, I mean, I'm going to file this. I believe you all got a copy recently.
And we have it now.
And you do have it already? Oh, yeah. You printed it out already? Oh, thank you, ma'am.
Thank Jay.
Well,
thank
you, Jay. And I want you to know this is not frivolous. It's not aimed at anybody. If we can't see that the public has had enough, but yet there may be no way to overcome it. I mean, let me just tell you, for instance,
not only
Dave,
is it not aimed at anybody, but the person who people might say it's aimed at said we need it.
Well, do you know I was just on a radio show once a week, once a month on the first Monday, and Gary Bischoff or whoever was there said, what are you doing, John? And I talked about the voting thing, a few things. I said, oh, campaign finance coming up. The guy in the background says, you know, what about all the money he got from those guys for the marijuana farm? I go, it's not targeted for anybody. It's not. But I think we have to start thinking about it. I'm deadly serious about it. Deadly serious. And anybody who wants to join in, I suppose the biggest thing to remember is that you can always take yourself off in case it's too... too difficult.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
To the chairman's local law, I haven't
read it enough times yet to know how I feel about the whole thing. I have certain concerns about the constitutionality of some of the items and inconsistencies with the Citizens United cases and whatnot, but I think it's all things. I'm going to sit down with Erica and we'll go over it, and I'll read the Citizens United cases again. But
if you notice, I tried to say this is not for them, because it's not prohibiting. It's not prohibiting me from giving you money.
To me, that's almost a distinction without a difference.
No, it's a big difference.
I'm not sure
that the judge.
Legislator Ron's got the floor.
The
point is, you're going after the contributor. Trying to punish the contributor.
Yeah, but you're still...
Listen, many times they don't get
whether you punish the contributor or you punish the recipient, the contributor is still unable to make the donation to the recipient, regardless of whom you punish.
Okay, let me just answer that so we don't go down a road. This is not going to be... aimed at John Q. Public, who wants to give money, is somebody who has a contract with the county.
No.
Somebody
has a
job.
I don't have the problem with the contract.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
The problem with I don't think that there's a problem with contractors being banned from giving money because there's a tangible benefit. The jobs one, I know that there's a, I know that there's a benefit when an employee has a job, but it's separate and it's separate and apart from the contract.
The governor just vetoed a piece of legislation and got a quarter of $1 million the next day. I mean,
right. that was something.
Passes the smell test?
No, that doesn't even pass the stink test.
I have no problem debating this and discussing it and being told I'm right or wrong. Yeah. And let me just say one more thing, Rich, and then I'm done. You know, my party last year laundered $300,000+ through their account.
Yep.
That I suppose was probably legal because it's never been investigated, but it sure doesn't pass the smell test.
Mayor de Blasio laundered almost $1 million into those three senators.
Well, my point is, I'm gonna bring that up in my own party when we discuss this sort of stuff. I'm not pointing to any party. This is not a Citizen United Democrat versus Republican thing.
To be honest with you, I think that's what lost her that election.
I didn't hear you.
I believe the person you're talking about that received most of that money lost that election because of that, because they came off as a hypocrite.
Okay, but you know what?
Well, they came off as a hypocrite.
It was done for a reason. They couldn't give her the money directly, so they laundered it through somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, Frank Cardinale. That's
we had an Ulster County legislative candidate who had $35,000 laundered through an election committee so he could run for a county legislature. And spent $25 per vote cast on that election. Could have brought everybody who voted either for him or against him out to a state.
I look forward to your recommendations.
Fair enough, sir.
Okay. Any other new business?
Move we adjourn.
Any old business?
Move we adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? All right. Closed at 8:00 on the dot.
Interesting.